KNBR 680 presents.
Hitting leadoff.
Leadoff.
The leadoff spot.
And that ball is gone. A home run leading it off.
Live from the KNBR studios with your host, the Waterboy.
Hey, Waterboy!
Marcus Boucher.
Waterboy, do your thing.
On KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
And that's how this game gets started.
Swing, it is a high drive into deep right center. Way back there, still going. Adios, pelota! The 10th home run of the year for J.D. Davis. Swing and a miss, he struck it out. And the ball game is over. And the Giants take the series 2 out of 3.
Quick throw, it is caught by Brandon Ayuk. Touchdown, San Francisco! Jimmy finds Brandon Ayuk. Garoppolo, he fumbled the snap, then dove back on the ball. Looked like Jimmy got back on the ball, but in that pile, Denver's ball. Here's Garoppolo, stretch and a boot roll right. Back in the back of the end zone, he stepped over the end line. That's a safety. Garoppolo back, he throws over the middle. Tipped up and intercepted by Jonas Griffith. Garoppolo back now on the 3-yard line, standing 5 yards deep in the end zone. Shotgun snap. Here comes the pressure. Jimmy steps up. Jimmy going to dump it out. Low caught by Jeff Wilson Jr. across the 20.
Ball out.
He fumbled the ball at the end. Denver's got the ball. The game is over. 49ers lose. They are beaten by a single point, and they are beaten by Russell Wilson again. Denver 11, 49ers 10.
And that should do it.
The Giants take 2 out of 3 this weekend, and the Niners lose to the Broncos on Sunday Night Football. What's up, everybody? Happy Monday morning. It's Marcus Boucher, a.k.a. the Waterboy from the Murph and Max Show, taking you up to 6 a.m. as always with my guy overnight, Dave, behind the glass. And Dave, I guess we can spend about 30 seconds on the San Francisco Giants this morning, because the one thing I will say is that they actually outscored the San Francisco 49ers this weekend. Yes, that's right. After the Giants wrapped up a 7-game road trip, I believe it is, going 6-1 over the last 7 games in Arizona and Colorado, they put up 14 runs this past weekend. The 49ers offense put up 10 points last night. So my big question this morning is, what's Brandon Crawford got planned for the offseason? What about Logan Webb? That's a former quarterback. Hell, maybe the Raiders need to call Logan Webb. I know he's a big Raider fan, and they're 0-3, Dave, so I know we can all point and laugh at the Raiders when we get there in a couple minutes. But we got to talk about what happened last night in Denver. And the 49ers losing 11-10. Only the second time in NFL history we've had a score of 11-10.
11.
And, Dave, I guess my big question, even going into last night's game, was what the hell was the NFL doing scheduling this game for Sunday Night Football? Why was it not Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers? You have two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and you don't put them on Sunday Night Football. They were the quote-unquote America's game on the week in the afternoon, and Aaron Rodgers ended up beating Tom Brady after the Tampa Bay Buccaneers failed to get a 2-point conversion after a delay of game. One of the top games from this weekend that we could talk about. Dolphins had a huge win over the Bills as well. And there's a ton of stuff that went all over the NFL crazy this week. And hey, the Bobby Boucher's best bets went 3-0 last week. So there's stuff to celebrate this morning. But there's also stuff to criticize this morning as well. And the big criticism is Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers. Because that right there was some bad football last night. And we want to focus offensively. Because if I want to get this out of the way, the defense deserves no blame for losing last night's game. It's a defense that technically allowed 11 points. They only allowed 9. 2 of them came off the Jimmy Garoppolo safety, stepping out of the back of the end zone, giving us the full Dan Orlovsky special last night. I mean, the defense contained, held Russell Wilson for almost every single drive, except for the late touchdown drive that they did have, but I'm not putting any blame on them. This is a defense that came out with back-to-back 3-and-outs to start the game, allowed 6 yards on 6 plays. I mean, in the first quarter, Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos didn't have a first down until the final play of the first quarter. They had 9 total 3-and-outs yesterday against Russell Wilson. That's the most he's ever had in his career, folks. But it didn't stop him. There he was at the end of the game, running around, extending plays. Key words, making plays. Getting the Denver Broncos in a position to win this game after they were just lingering around. This was a 49ers team that dominated for three quarters. Hell, you could say three and a half quarters up to that final 4 minutes of the drive. And then it all fell apart. It all fell apart in the second half. I mean, really, if we want to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly with the 49ers, it was mostly ugly. For how handsome Jimmy Garoppolo was, that was an ugly performance, my friends. This was Jimmy looking good in the first quarter, if you want to give him any credit, but there was even some throws he missed in the first quarter. Then we could talk about the second drive of the game for the 49ers, their only touchdown drive of the game, where Kyle Shanahan did a fantastic job scripting out tons of plays, whether it was the big play to Brandon Ayuk, whether it's Jeff Wilson Jr. pulling off a 37-yard run, his longest run in his career, driving all the way down, gotten Debo to set the pick for Ayuk to score the touchdown on slam play. That was great. That was all good football. And it looked like after that drive, the 49ers were going to be able to move the ball on this Denver Broncos defense with ease. That wasn't the case, folks. Obviously, they didn't score another touchdown for the whole rest of the night. Hell, until that fourth quarter, I don't even know if they crossed midfield, it was that bad. And Jimmy Garoppolo was a big reason for it. And now we're in a situation where I don't want to say, like, this is, like, be careful what you ask for, but this is what a lot of 49ers ask for. And I don't think they asked for it to happen in this situation where Trey Lance goes down with a broken ankle in week two. But then again, there was a big 49er fan base that was calling for Jimmy Garoppolo to start week one the minute they signed him back after the final preseason game of the year against the Houston Texans. So it's got to be addressed this morning. Jimmy Garoppolo did not look even like a former shell of himself, Jimmy Garoppolo, or maybe he did look too much like Jimmy Garoppolo last night. The three turnovers, the sacks, I mean, everything just, it was just bad football for the 49ers. And this is him missing a wide-open Debo Samuel on an open route, but he's staring to the left and can't find him. This is Jimmy Garoppolo underthrowing Debo Samuel when they lined him up beautifully out of the backfield, had a mismatch with a linebacker, could have been an easy touchdown. Still ended up going for like a 32-yard game, but if it wasn't underthrown, that's an easy 7 points on the board right there. You also had a play where Kyle Shanahan later in the fourth quarter mismatched Kyle Juszczyk versus Bradley Chubb. I thought that was great offensive scheming as well. But outside of that first quarter, where were the adjustments? Where was the running game? Jeff Wilson ended with 75 yards. He had 55 of them in the first half. So what happened to the bread and butter? What happened to this offense getting in its flow and getting into its rhythm? The problem was in the first half of football, they were 0-for-6 on third down, folks. Going into the final quarter of the game, I think they ended 1-for-10 on third down. That's not sustaining drives. That's not being able to even get yourself into rhythm because it was 3 and out. I mean, we talked so much about Russell Wilson going 3 and out 9 times. The 49ers were right there as well with their offense. And then in the second half, we saw it go from good to bad to ugly to even worse. Once the Jimmy Garoppolo, I guess, mishaps is what we're going to call it. But this has got to be the worst play of the year for the 49ers. And that's why I think this is the worst loss of the year for the 49ers as well. Like, we can go back to week one on the Bears. Jimmy Garoppolo spoke after the game and said, yeah, it was just a sloppy game all around. Hell, at least in Chicago, there was a monsoon you could blame it on. You could blame the weather for it being so sloppy. This was just a sloppy performance by the 49ers, and more specifically, Jimmy Garoppolo. And I saw the excuses last night, like, oh, you know, He didn't have a playbook. He didn't take too many reps. Okay, cool. This is the same guy who last week told us, oh, it's just like getting on a bike and riding it all over again. Maybe those bikes had a couple flat tires yesterday. And so I get it. You can make excuses for Jimmy Garoppolo, but it's not like they shrunk the end zone in the last 6 months between Jimmy Garoppolo starting his last game. Like, that's a rookie mistake right there. That's something you would expect out of Trey Lance, not out of Jimmy Garoppolo, for him to pull a full Dan Orlovsky and run out of the back of the end zone, which really saved him from an even worse scenario because it would have been a pick six. He throws the ball up. Bradley Chubb snipes it out of the air, dives into the end zone. It should have been a touchdown for the Broncos. But luckily, Jimmy G stepping out actually saved them some points in that one. But again, this is a rookie mistake. This is something you expect out of Trey Lance. And so that's the difference. You know, when you have a puppy, And he urinates all over the kitchen. Oh, it happens. It's a puppy. But when you have a dog for 5, 6, 7 years, no, you can't be doing it. You can't be having those rookie mistakes. When you're a veteran, when this guy's been in the league, what, 7, 8, 9, almost 10 years now? I don't know how long Jimmy G's been around. Seems like he's been around forever. And you can't make those kind of mistakes. And so that right there alone was the worst play of the season for the 49ers because it was not only a safety, it not only could have been a pick six, you also lost Trent Williams on that play as well. He gets his ankle rolled up. Now he's dealing with a high ankle sprain. And after that, it was just open the floodgates. You got Colton McKivitz trying to block Bradley Chubb. Good luck. You ain't going to be able to do it. And so the 49ers offense, once again, looked stagnant. And it was Jimmy Garoppolo not making the plays. He had another bad pass to Brandon Ayuk where he skipped it at the end of the third quarter on third down. And then we can get to the fourth quarter where Jimmy Garoppolo had a chance to lead a game-winning drive after Mr. Dangerous himself, Mr. Unlimited, Mr. Russell Wilson coming from a whole pack of Badgers leads the Seahawks to their only touchdown game or drive of the day, converted multiple third downs. And I know people were like, oh, well, the 49ers defense didn't step up and stop. They still held Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos to 9 points, folks. If you hold any team in the NFL to 14 or less, you have an opportunity to win the game. So now I'm not pointing fingers at the 49ers defense. No, no, no. This was Russell Wilson making plays. This was Russell Wilson using his legs. This was him getting outside the pocket and him making plays. It's still Russell Wilson. This is still a guy that's now beat you 17 times during the regular season, one more in the postseason, with a nice sparkling record of 18-4 now. And that's what he did. He put the Denver Broncos in that position, got him goal to go to drive. Melvin Gordon bangs it in. And just like that, it's a 12-play, 80-yard touchdown drive. The Denver Broncos take their first lead of the game, fail on the two-point conversion. So they're only up by one. It's only 11-10 with about 4 minutes left to go. And here it is. Here's all the ducks getting in a row on the pond for Jimmy Garoppolo to come in, be the hero, lead the 49ers on a game-winning drive. All he needs is a field goal. Doesn't even need a touchdown. No. What happens? Jimmy Garoppolo gets sacked on the first play. Of course, again, everybody's looking at the offensive line without Trent Williams and how that's going to be a huge issue if he does end up missing a couple weeks like a team against the Rams coming up next week on Monday night as well. But after Jimmy gets sacked, he then drops back, throws it, middle, coverage, whatever. And I didn't even mention the interception he had earlier in the fourth quarter where he throws in a double, triple coverage. No, the 49ers defense came back again, got the Broncos off the field, got him to kick the ball back to the 49ers offense to give him a second chance after the Jimmy Garoppolo interception. After he threw it into at least double, if you want to call it triple coverage, go ahead. There's two guys guarding Debo, gets picked up, and the linebacker gets him. Yeah, we can call that triple coverage that Jimmy Garoppolo stared down right into, and it leads to an interception. But like I said, there was the 49ers defense picking up the slack once again, giving Jimmy G an opportunity. He gets sacked, dumps it down to Jeff Wilson Jr. Jeff Wilson Jr. fumbles. Game over. Russell Wilson, victory formation. They're taking a knee. And the Denver Broncos somehow, someway have a 2-1-1 record and sneak out of Sunday Night Football with a win over the San Francisco 49ers. And that's why I think I do just want to quote what Jimmy Garoppolo said. It was a sloppy game. You can't go over and turn the ball over that many times. You can't have the safety. You can't have all the missed opportunities. I mean, where is the 49ers red zone offense? But yeah, they barely even got into the red zone with this offense. Poor conversions on third down. Just poor football. That's what it was. And that's how you could sum it up. And that's why I do want to play some of that Jimmy Garoppolo sound for you on the other side. But why not give you a little tease of Kyle Shanahan and let you hear his message to the team after yesterday's 11-10 loss on Sunday Night Football against the Denver Broncos? Here was Kyle Shanahan. What went wrong for the 49ers last night during Sunday Night Football?
Really just what I told you guys. I mean, I thought we made way too many mistakes. We had our opportunities in the first half where I thought we should have been up a lot more than we were. We missed on those. Came back in the second half, and the defense kept it going. Offense had a chance early and started out with the fumbled snap. And then we never got it going after that. I mean, stay on the field. Unless you're getting huge plays, you got to convert a third down, and we never did that.
No, you never did that. Didn't convert on third down. We got fumble snaps. We got interceptions. We got turnovers. We got bad football. And that's why the 49ers lost yesterday. That's the bottom line. And now they're sitting here with a 1-2 record having to face off against the LA Rams next weekend on Monday Night Football. A team in the LA Rams who just beat the Arizona Cardinals this past weekend. Like I said, there was a ton of huge games going around in the NFC West, in the entire National Football League. Stuff we can hit on today as we're closing out segment one. Already mentioned a little bit of Aaron Rodgers taking down Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers yesterday. We can recap everything that went down in week one, all the top games. Yes, I know the Raiders are 0-3. I wanted to make sure to point that out for all my 49er fans who got mad that I put out the fact that, hey, I thought the 49ers were supposed to be better with Jimmy Garoppolo than Trey Lance. It's got nothing to do with the Raiders, but hey, if it makes you feel better this morning, we can all point and laugh at the 0-3 Raiders.
Now comes the part where we throw our heads back and laugh. Ready?
Ready!
Ah, misery loves a little bit of company. Raiders lose, 49ers lose. We'll get back into the 49er postgame sound next. It's the Water Boy on the leadoff spot on KMBR 104.5 FM and 680 AM, the sports leader.
You are listening to the leadoff spot. Available now on TuneIn.com through your smartphone or desktop. We are KNBR, the sports leader.
Here's Garoppolo, stretch and a boot roll right. Back in the back of the end zone. He stepped over the end line. That's a safety. Oh, man, catastrophe. Jimmy Garoppolo fumbled the snap on the last series here. He goes Dan Orlovsky.
To Orlovsky. He's back to pass. He ran out of the end zone safety. Dan Orlovsky forced out of the end zone by an on-charging Jared Allen.
This is the leadoff spot with your host, the water boy, Marcus Boucher.
Marcus, could you play a little bit of that Augusta melody?
On KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Ah, nicely done, Dave, with the rejoin of Jimmy Garoppolo going full Dan Orlovsky. And I'm sure 49er fans weren't happy to see that yesterday, but there was one man who was happy, and that, of course, is Dan Orlovsky, who went to Twitter and tweeted out, "I've never been happier. Freedom!" Eh, not so fast, Dan. You're still the quarterback who led the Detroit Lions to an 0-16 record, so I don't think anybody's going to forget about that anytime soon. But a week after Dante Whitner came on these airwaves and said, hey, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo can run the table and go 16-0, through yesterday's performance, it's looking like the opposite. And no, I'm not going to overreact too much, but this was a bad loss. Your defense allows 9 points, and you score 10. That right there means you're going to lose, because Jimmy Garoppolo himself on that play gives the Denver Broncos 2 points. And as we broke down for you in the first segment, he was actually lucky that he stepped out of bounds, because it should have been a pick six to Bradley Chubb, which could have flipped the game even more. But that meant at that point, the 49ers were still up 7-5. And yes, that's correct. During the NFL football game on Sunday Night Football, the score was 7-5, because the 49ers only scored one offensive touchdown. It came on the second drive of the day. Kyle Shanahan does a great job of scripting his first 15, 20 plays, like it seems like he does every single game. They get the mix of passing and throwing. Brandon Ayuk gets the drive going with a pretty good throw from Jimmy Garoppolo, one of the few things he did well yesterday. Jeff Wilson Jr. rips off a career-long 37-yard rush. And the 49ers are just slicing and dicing his Broncos defense. They get all the way down to the goal line. Debo sets a nice little pick for Brandon Ayuk. He runs the slant. Touchdown, San Francisco, and they got the 7-0 lead. Well, guess what? After that, you want to know how the 49ers series went drive by drive? Well, let's see. It started with a punt, got followed up by a punt. Guess what? Back-to-back punts after that, 4 punts in a row. Then you have the fumble, Jimmy Garoppolo and the missed snap. Some people are saying he pulled away from the center too early. Hey, that sounds like a rookie mistake to me if we're talking veteran versus rookie moves. Then we had the safety, which is the ultimate rookie mistake, that he just ran out of the back of the end zone. But like I said, kind of saved his ass from throwing a pick six as well. Then you get another punt. Then the 49ers actually get into Denver territory, kick the field goal. Some people wanted Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers to go for it on 4th-and-2 as well, but they take the points to give them 10. Then they come back with a punt.
10.
Then we get the Jimmy Garoppolo interception where he throws into triple coverage. Ball gets tipped up and the Denver Broncos take over. But the 49ers defense comes through clutch, gets a 3-and-out, only wastes about 20 seconds off the clock. And then Jimmy Garoppolo gets sacked and then throws a dump down to Joe Wilson Jr. He fumbles and game's over. So the game script wasn't really that great outside of the second drive. And that's why we do got to look to Kyle Shanahan, the man that's calling all these plays, the man that's in charge of this offense, and the man that's going to dictate how well they succeed on the offensive side of the ball. So here was Kyle Shanahan yesterday talking about that game script. If he did get too conservative after the first quarter, I don't know how you get conservative only scoring one touchdown in a game, but hey, they got to ask the questions, and Kyle Shanahan has got to answer them. Here was the head coach of the 49ers talking about that offense, talking about the penalties, and their lack of conversions on third down?
No, I wasn't trying to play as safe as possible. We were trying to get someone going. Felt like we had a lot of shots in the first half. Kind of went exactly how we wanted in terms of moving the ball, getting some big plays, but had a number of penalties that I thought hurt us in the first half, and then we didn't convert a third down. I believe we were 0-4, so I thought we should have a lot more points to show for what we did in the first half. In the second half, never got into a rhythm. When we did, we had that fumbled snap, got backed up, went into the safety. Had another turnover, didn't get the run game quite going, and just never could really get in the rhythm in the second half that we had in the first. And when you don't convert a third down till, I think, that last drive, that's usually not a good recipe.
That's it right there. You can't get into a rhythm if you're going 3 and out.
That's usually not a good recipe.
Every single drive. And yeah, there were a couple of drives where they extended past 3 plays, but you still were 0-for-9 until your last drive on third down conversions. And that right there is unacceptable, because this is a 49ers offense that is supposed to put you in third and short situations by running the ball. And Jeff Wilson Jr., we pointed out that he had 37 yards on one carry, ended the first half with 55, and then ended the day with 75. So they only ran the ball for about 20 yards in that second half. And Deebo Samuel was a guy yesterday who got a good, decent work size. He had 5 carries, only had 6 yards. So the rushing offense was shut down, which means they had to rely on Jimmy Garoppolo. But then we could talk about all the missed passes as well. We could talk about the missed reads, where Deebo Samuel is wide open on blown coverage, but he's staring to the left side of the field, so he can't even find him. We could talk about the Deebo Samuel 32-yard reception, where he's mismatched against a linebacker coming out of the backfield. If you just float that up a couple yards downfield, that's a touchdown. That's 14 points on the board right there. And then guess what? The Denver Broncos only scored 11. So that could have got the job done for you right there. But it all goes back to not converting on third down, not getting into a rhythm. And it's the same reason that George Kittle is pointing to that for why the 49ers lost. You can't go out there, turn the ball over 3 times, commit a safety, and only score 10 points.
Yeah, so, I mean, there it is. Yeah, we turned the ball over, 3 times with a safety. Kind of hard to do anything. We were 1-for-10 on third down. Kind of hard to get anything going. I mean, that's all it is.
Yeah, that's all it is. It was hard to do anything.
I mean, that's all it is.
With Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback yesterday. And again, this is after a whole week where I was told the 49ers were going to be better right now with Jimmy Garoppolo than they were with Trey Lance. I think everybody kind of overreacted and kind of forgot what we were getting in Jimmy Garoppolo. But again, this is a Jimmy G who's coming off the surgery this year. So there are going to be people who cut him some slack. But this is a guy that yesterday went 18 for 29, 211 yards, a touchdown, an interception, the fumble, the safety, and there were just some bad moments. Some really, really bad moments. And it's great when you come in and beat the Seattle Seahawks. Guess what? The Seattle Seahawks are not that good of a football team. That's why I picked the Atlanta Falcons for the upset win and Bobby Boucher's best bets of the week last week, and that one cashed out. So I'll take credit for that. But I won't take credit for what Jimmy Garoppolo was doing yesterday. And like I said, there's plenty of excuses. This was the same guy who said last week it was just like riding a bike. Right back to where he was winning games for the 49ers. Well, yesterday, they lost. And here was QB1 Jimmy Garoppolo talking about his quote-unquote first full week with the 49ers, despite the fact that he's been QB1 for the better part of the last 5 years.
Just our rhythm. I don't think we weren't in a rhythm at all in the second half. And you could feel it. You could see it. We were talking about on the sideline, but just, it's kind of – I don't know, I was just thinking about it. It was kind of my first week with these guys, and I just got to get in a rhythm with them, especially like third down. I mean, we were terrible today, and I just got to get on the same page with those guys, and we got to convert those.
Look, I get what he's saying, that it's kind of his first week with this team because he's finally getting reps with the first team. But again, dude, you've been here for 5 years. This is why it was a perfect situation, because you were supposed to know the system. You were supposed to know how to win. All Jimmy does is win games, right? Well, here he was back in a scenario against a Denver Broncos team that really isn't that good.
I just got to get on the same page with those guys.
And they couldn't win. So, no, he wasn't on the same page yesterday. And you can't even say, like, oh, he wasn't on the same page with other guys. He wasn't on the same page with himself. This is a guy that ran out of the back of the end zone. And we should give some credit to the special teams unit. You want to talk about there being pitcher duels in the MLB? Last night was a punter's duel. Back and forth. Multiple guys putting the ball on the 1-yard line. Shout out to Sam Womack and Taylor Pepper, the long snapper for the 49ers, down on the ball, down at the 1-yard line. That was a beautiful special teams play. Guess what? The Broncos were out here pinning the 49ers at their 1-2-yard line as well. And that's why Jimmy Garoppolo was backed up in his own end zone. And that's why he ended up taking one too many steps out of the back of the end zone, which, of course, resulted in 2 points for the Denver Broncos. And guess what? They won by one. So, yeah, it's a huge factor in this game. So here was Jimmy G explaining what happened on that play and how he ended up walking out of the back of the end zone yesterday.
Trying to buy some time for it. It's a longer developing play. It's just a tough situation, though, just that whole thing.
Yeah, the whole thing was tough, and it could have been worse.
It's just a tough situation, though, the whole thing.
It could have been a pick six. It probably should have been. Probably saved himself the misery and the bigger swing of the points. I mean, come on. What are we doing here? Stepping out of the back of the end zone, that's unacceptable. From a veteran quarterback, it's unacceptable. That's bottom line. And that was the 49ers offense yesterday. Whether it was the passing game, whether it was the rushing game outside of the first quarter and Jeff Wilson Jr. in his first half getting 55 yards. Overall, it was just bad football and bad offense from the 49ers. And George Kittle has that same sentiment. Here was number 85, who made his return yesterday, talking about all the offensive mishaps.
That's just bad offense. And we have to, like, especially when we have a defense that's playing the way that they are, giving us opportunities. Basically, if we don't turn the ball over and score 10 points a game, we should be able to win as long as we don't turn the ball over 3 times with a safety. And, you know, I think our goal is much higher than that. But at the lowest, we can't do that.
Yeah, that's the thing. With this 49ers run game and defense, a defense that has been absolutely phenomenal the first 3 weeks of the season.
We can't do that.
Like, I feel like we're almost at a point where the 49ers defense is getting Matt Cained. Like, they're out here pitching shutouts and they just can't get the run support. And then they end up losing, folks. And so that just can't happen when you have this good of a defense. Your goal is to not turn the ball over. Your goal is to not set up the Denver Broncos with easy points. Your goal is to be a game manager, Jimmy Garoppolo. That's what you need to do, is just not turn the ball over. And everybody always freaks out. Oh, you call Jimmy G a game manager. No, that's how they got to the Super Bowl. That's how they got to the NFC Championship game, was the games where Jimmy Garoppolo didn't turn the ball over. And guess what? When he did turn the ball over, they were much more likely to lose. And that's what happened yesterday. And this is coming from a guy, George Kittle himself, who says this is unacceptable. A George Kittle who only had 4 catches for 28 yards. Well, guess what? I don't know if his numbers are going to get better, because they might need to keep him inside to help block now for Jimmy Garoppolo. Because the big news yesterday on that safety play, besides the fact that Jimmy almost threw the pick six, was that Trent Williams went down on that same play. That's why I'm saying that play right there alone is worse than any Justin Fields broken play to Dante Pettis for a touchdown. No, yesterday, Jimmy Garoppolo running out of the back of the end zone was the worst play of the season, and it coincided with you losing one of, if not your best players, Trent Williams. And so here's George Kittle now on the impact of losing somebody like your starting left tackle, Trent Williams.
Oh, I mean, he's the best football player in the NFL. So when you lose the best football player in the NFL, I'm not going to say, like, it doesn't, like, you know, it's not like a gut punch. It's just kind of like a, I mean, he's the most reliable person. Like, there's no pressure, there's no sacks. And then when you take him out, and it's nothing against the guy below him, but there's no one that's nearly as good as Trent Williams. And so when you lose him and also a captain, the most steady player on our team, besides probably Nick, it's just tough. And, you know, nothing against our two left tackles that came in after that, but, you know, when you lose a guy like him, just it's tough.
Yeah, George doesn't want to say it, but I'll say it. It's a huge downgrade going from Trent Williams to Colton McKivitz. That's not a surprise to anybody. And this is what led to Jimmy Garoppolo getting sacked 4 times yesterday. One of them we saw on the final drive of the game where, guess what? Colton McKivitz gets beat. Jimmy Garoppolo goes down. Next play, doesn't have time to throw, has to check it down, and Jeff Wilson Jr. fumbles, and the game is over. And that's it right there. 3 turnovers, the safety, the lack of offense. That's why the 49ers lost. Not because their defense only allowed 9 points, which is why I thought that was a ridiculous take yesterday on Twitter. Oh, the 49ers, why couldn't they stop Russell Wilson in the final drive of the game? What do you mean, why? They did, technically. In the last 2 minutes, they got the 3-and-out they needed to put Jimmy Garoppolo in a position to go lead the Niners downfield to get a game-winning field goal. It didn't happen. And so, yeah, Russell Wilson is still Russell Wilson. He's going to pull out a little late-game magic somehow, some way. They forced the Denver Broncos to punt 10 different times. They had 9 3-and-outs. They had 4 sacks on the day. The 49ers defense did their job. The 49ers offense did not. And so here's one more piece from George Kittle talking about the 49ers defense and how their offense did not match their play yesterday. Because obviously, they only scored 10 points. So you can say their 49ers offense haven't matched their performance the entire season. And that's why I made the reference to Matt Cain. Because the 49ers defense is out here pitching shutouts. They were a phenomenal week one against the Bears. They had two broken plays that Justin Fields got 99 of his 120-something yards against. Then you saw what happened in week two against the Seattle Seahawks. Their offense couldn't do anything. And then for the majority of the game, Russell Wilson, Mr. nine-time Pro Bowlers out of the last 10 years, a guy who has dominated this 49ers defense, a guy who has a winning record not only against the 49ers, 17-4 during the regular season, 18-4 overall now, has a 9-2 record against Kyle Shanahan. He has their number. But for three and a half quarters, the 49ers defense had his number. And it came down to that one drive. Credit to Russell Wilson where credit's due. He made the plays last night that Jimmy Garoppolo didn't. But here again is George Kittle talking about that 49ers defense and how they stepped up when the 49ers offense did not.
Please keep doing that the whole season. I mean, when you have a defense like that, especially like we got to practice against them, so like we're getting good work against them. They come out, they, you know, bust their tails every single play. I mean, like, I think they had like one bad drive where they gave up one touchdown tonight, gave up 6 points, really. And then we gave up two to them, and they had a field goal. Like, they're playing really well, you know. D-line's playing well. Eric didn't play tonight, but, you know, they still played at a really high level. Linebackers continue to play at a high level. Flanagan came in for Aziz, and I thought he played really well. Our DBs are playing well. Like, as an offense, we have to put more than 10 points on the scoreboard.
It's as simple as that. If you're an NFL defense, you can hold a team to 14 points or less, you should go out there and win the game. That's the bottom line. And that's why I do like that guys like Nick Bosa and Fred Warner, even after the game, were trying to take some accountability, saying, yeah, you know, we led up that 12-play touchdown drive to the Broncos at the end of the game. But no, I'm not pointing fingers. But I do like that they're not pointing fingers at the offense and throwing them under the bus. Here was Fred Warner yesterday talking about that 49ers defense and how they did have Russell Wilson's number for most of the game outside of that one drive.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it. We got to play a full four-quarter game. It doesn't matter how dominant we are throughout the game. That last drive, we can't let them get down there and score like that. And also, we got to get the ball back for the offense. We had multiple opportunities to get after it, and we end up with zero. They end up with three, and that's you'll lose every time, minus three.
Yeah, if you're down 3-0 in a turnover battle and you're only scoring 10 points, you're going to lose. So as great as the 49ers defense did play yesterday with their four sacks, with Telenova Hufanga blowing up plays in the backfield, with Charvarius Mooney Ward making a bunch of tackles, breaking up a 50-yard bomb to Jerry Jeudy late in the game as well. They didn't have any turnovers. The 49ers did. And that's why they lost, because it was a quote-unquote sloppy game. And yeah, that quote is coming from Jimmy Garoppolo himself. Our last piece of sound is from Jimmy G talking about the sloppiness of last night's game and the 49ers' 11-10 loss on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, I mean, it was just altogether just a sloppy day. I think we had really one clean drive, got points off of it, and other than that, the defense really, you know, kept us in that game. But just overall, just a sloppy day.
Sloppy, sloppy, sloppy. And I'd say it's sloppier than the monsoon that they played in Chicago. This, by far, is a bigger loss to me than week one. But it's only week three, folks. Week four is right around the corner. You got the L.A. Rams, the defending Super Bowl champions, to turn it around. But with Trent Williams dealing with that high ankle sprain, I'm not really looking forward to that matchup, just to be completely honest with you. But we'll have plenty of time to break down that matchup in week four of the NFL schedule. But how about this on the other side? We'll put a bow on week three, take a look around the league, break down what happened in the Brady-Rodgers matchup, and all the top games and best bets from week three of the NFL season. It's the Waterboy on a Monday morning on KNBR 104.5 FM and 680 AM, the sports leader.
I just got to get on the same page with those guys.
You're listening to The Leadoff Spot. Available now on TuneIn.com through your smartphone or desktop. We are KNBR, the sports leader.
Kerry Hyder Jr. all around Russell Wilson's feet. Look at him from behind. Beautifully done by Kerry Hyder. Russ stepped up in the pocket to avoid him. Hyder came underneath and nailed him. Kinlaw a two-point stance over the center. Here he comes. Russell Wilson back. He gets swallowed up by them all.
Drake
led
Jackson.
By Kinlaw. Bosa comes in and knocks down Russell Wilson. His get-off was insane on that play. He almost took the handoff from Russell Wilson. Wilson a play action. Loves the deep shot here, but he's not going to get one off because he got sacked by Kevin Givens. Kevin Givens drops him back on the 42-yard line.
You found the leadoff spot with your host, the water boy, Marcus Boucher.
You can do it. Okay, I see you, Boucher.
On KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
That's right. It's Marcus Boucher, the water boy on the leadoff spot on a Monday morning, recapping all the news that happened this weekend in the NFL. And, of course, the number one story is the 49ers.
I just got to get on the same page with those guys.
11-10 against the Denver Broncos. And, no, we're not on the same page right now. Because the 49ers, if we're being honest with you, should be 3-0. The way that their defense has played this year, they should be 3-0. But should doesn't matter in this case scenario. I can go on a whole rant about how the Raiders should be 2-1. It doesn't matter. They're 0-3. They're the only 0-3 team in football. So when you want to look yourself in the mirror, you are what your record says. And now the 49ers' record is 1-2 heading into a Monday night matchup with the LA Rams. But when you look around the rest of the NFC West, wasn't a terrible day for 49er news, as the Rams were one team who got the win, but they beat the Cardinals in a divisional game. So now the 49ers are tied at 1-2 with the Arizona Cardinals. And the Seattle Seahawks, who lost yesterday in an upset to the Atlanta Falcons, a game who I might have told you guys was one of our best bets of the week last week. We can get into those in a second. We can get into all these games this weekend because we always looking around, especially in the NFC West, of course, with the 49ers competition. We're also looking overall in the entire conference to see who are going to be the players this year. And don't look now, the Philadelphia Eagles have improved to 3-0. They beat the Washington Commanders and Carson Wentz yesterday, 24-8. And Carson Wentz was trying to have his revenge game against the Eagles, but ended up going out there and getting sacked 9 times. So I know a lot of people are on the Philadelphia Eagles bandwagon right now with Jalen Hurts looking like he's really made the steps this year. You also got to remind themselves that they beat who? The Detroit Lions, the Washington Commanders, and the Minnesota Vikings. So, no, I'm not ready to crown them the kings of the NFC quite yet. I would still honestly rather take a team like the Rams, the Packers, the Buccaneers, and even maybe the 49ers if Jimmy Garoppolo can figure it out. But two of those teams actually did play yesterday, and that was Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. A game that I took a lot of time previewing for you guys on Friday and breaking down my pick and why I was taking the Green Bay Packers over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I talked to Murph about it. I talked to Paulie Mack about it. And they're rolling with their guy, Tom Brady, which is understandable. But I told you guys last Friday, Tom Brady does not look the same this year. On and off the field. All that facelift rumors aside. This is a Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense that is devastated with injuries right now. Julio Jones not playing. Chris Godwin not playing. Mike Evans gets suspended for the Marshawn Lattimore fight last week. So now you got guys like Scotty Miller and Cole Beasley coming out and being Brady's number one and number two. But hey, on the opposite side, you can say the same thing about the Green Bay Packers. They lost Devontae Adams. Sammy Watkins got placed on the IR. Now you got guys like Romeo Doubs and Randall Cobb as your number one and number two. And so in a game, in a matchup that we all hyped up, between the guys who have, I think, a combined 7 MVPs in their career, it was actually the lowest scoring matchup ever in a Tom Brady-Aaron Rodgers game. And it ended up coming down to the final drive of the game. And Tom Brady had a chance to tie this one up and send it to overtime. But here was Tommy Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers shooting themselves in the foot because they had not only a delay of game on the final two-point conversion. Hell, they almost had a delay of game on the final touchdown play of the game as well to put him within 2 points. Aaron Rodgers spoke to the media after, and he wasn't too happy about that. He was pointing out the Jumbotron and everything that was going on that was kind of fishy in Tampa Bay, but are we surprised something fishy was going around Tom Brady? No, not at all.
The Packers field it, and they will kneel down, and they will come out of Tampa with a victory.
But they got the win because Tampa Bay screwed up and had to delay a game on a two-point conversion, pushed them back. Tom Brady throws an incomplete pass, and Aaron Rodgers gets the win over Tom Brady, which I thought would be a huge win for Aaron Rodgers because he was one of those guys that was kind of running his mouth a lot last week, talking about the greatest of all time conversation and how he's like, yeah, I really don't look at Super Bowls. I look at MVPs. I was like, wow, this guy's taking shots against Tom Brady before he plays him this weekend. But guess what? Aaron Rodgers went out there and outplayed Tom Brady, and he got the win in a huge game in the NFC that could have, I guess, dividends later on down the road when we're talking about playoff seeding. But again, we're only in week three heading into week four of the NFL season, so I don't want to get too far ahead of themselves. But it was definitely a huge two-point conversion that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers could not be successful on. There was another two-point conversion that decided the game yesterday, and that was the Tennessee Titans and the Las Vegas Raiders. And the Raiders are now the worst team in the NFL.
Oh, my God.
And I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek because now they're 3 weeks into the season, and as I said with the 49ers, could be 3-0. The Raiders easily could be 2-1 right now. They lost week one to the Chargers when their offensive line fell apart. Derek Carr throws three interceptions and Khalil Mack gets three sacks. So, no, I'm not giving them a win for that one. But we saw the 20-point collapse last week against the Arizona Cardinals. Them losing on a 50-something yard scoop and score that Byron Murphy almost fumbled as a touchback out of the back of the end zone.
Molden in the backfield with Carr for the two-point try.
Ah, Dave, don't do
it. Get it off. Carr throws
short. Short. What a surprise. Something he was doing a lot of yesterday, which Derek Carr deserves some criticism too, but I think Darren Waller is the man you want to point out for yesterday's Raiders loss. Had two big drops that could have been touchdowns.
I just got to get on the same page with those
guys. Yeah, Derek Carr and Darren Waller were not on the same page yesterday as he throws the pick at the goal and it bounces off Darren Waller's hands. But I'm sure people don't want to hear me talk too much about the Raiders unless we're all pointing our fingers and laughing at them at the fact that they are the only 0-3 team in the NFL.
Now comes the part where we throw our heads back and laugh. Ready?
Ready!
And hey, man, I know misery loves company, so I'm sure Brian Murphy is going to come in with plenty of shots against the Raiders today, so I don't want to spend too much time talking about him. But as we do wrap up the rest of the NFL world action, how about the Miami Dolphins, I should say, taking down the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen yesterday? A little bit of controversy with Tua going down with a potential concussion, him getting the wobbly legs, but then him coming back in the game. You had the Dolphins punter kicking punts off the other dude's butt. We had the butt punt yesterday, which resulted in 2 points. Bunch of crazy stuff. The Colts upset the Chiefs. I mean, stuff is crazy. It's only week three of the NFL, but I will tell you, week three of the NFL, we went 3-0 with our best bets. We had a winner with the Bengals -6.5 against the Jets, Ravens -2.5 against the Patriots, and Falcons +1 plus the upset victory on the money line over the Seattle Seahawks. And that, my friend, was week three of the NFL. Let's go ahead and make that connection with Murphy Mack on the other side. Get you ready for the morning show. Talk a little bit more 49er football with Marcus Boucher on KNBR 104.5 FM and 680 AM, the sports leader.
You are listening to The Leadoff Spot. Available now on TuneIn.com through your smartphone or desktop. We are KNBR, the sports leader. You found The Leadoff Spot with your host, the water boy, Marcus Boucher.
You can do it. Okay, I see you, Boucher.
On KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Wrapping up week three on the Leadoff Spot this morning, talking a lot of NFL action, of course, and not too much to celebrate, but Dave, a little bit of action we will celebrate this morning is for my guy on the 707 on the Cash Creek text line who said, hey, Waterboy, I followed your three best bets last week, put them all together on a parlay, all three hit, so he got to cash in some shekels. So, you know, I always like giving out winning bets, and it's something we're looking to celebrate this morning. Because obviously for the next 4 hours, you're not going to hear a lot of good stuff. Hell, you heard it from me for the past hour. I'm not happy. And some people are always like, oh, you're a Raider fan. You want to see the 49ers? No, I hate the Broncos. I absolutely hate the Broncos. With a passion, folks. So, yeah, I'm rooting for the 49ers. When I work for the flagship station, I'm always rooting for them to win. But when you see a performance like that from Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah, you got to call them out. And there's a couple of people on the text line like, wow, Waterboy, you're torching Jimmy Garoppolo this morning after one game. Nah, it's not one game. This is kind of the Jimmy G I've seen for the last 5 years. And that's why my guy Brian Murphy will call me a Jimmy Garoppolo hater. No, I'm just realistic. And we saw some of that real Jimmy G yesterday.
Cross him off then.
Well, I say maybe it would have been an instance of when keeping it real goes wrong for Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday. Murph. Good morning, my man. How we doing on a Monday morning?
You knew this was coming, but I'm coming with it right now.
Here it is.
This is some bad football.
This is some bad quarterbacking, Murph.
We got 4 hours to vent. Mm-hmm. First of all, I feel bad for Paulie. Guy flies back from Italy and gets this.
This is
come
it.
Come on, man.
Yeah, welcome back.
All he wants is some Niner football, and he gets that.
Yeah, you get some defense,
absolute
but no offense.
Steaming pile of dog.
Yeah, welcome back,
defecation.
This is how you guys are going to treat me.
Yeah. Unbelievable. And I'm just going to go say this, and I'll say this over and over. Even by Jimmy standards,
yes.
I think that's the worst I've ever seen him.
He looked bad.
I think that's
yesterday.
The worst I've ever seen him.
He looked really.
So everybody's
really
like,
bad.
Everybody who says this is Jimmy, I'm like, no, I get it. Listen, I never said he was freaking Aaron Rodgers, all right? But they won with him.
Yeah.
Not last night. They didn't. They win last night with us because he stunk last night.
That's the old thing. With the old Jimmy Garoppolo, your 49er defense goes out there only lets up 9 points. You're winning
those
games.
He'll scrape out 13 points for you to win.
Yeah.
That's the old Jimmy. The old Jimmy would be awful and get you 13 and you win. And then everybody would be like, Jimmy sucks. And then Paulie and I would be like, but they won. Not last night, brother.
No, when they don't win, the bad performance sticks out even worse, of course.
Jesus H, man. Can I say that on the air, bro?
Yeah, sure. Why not? You just said it.
Yeah.
I think we're still in the safe harbor. It's 6 a.m.
We got a lot of time to vent, but this is,
no good.
Horrific.
This loss is way worse than week 1 against the Bears, correct?
At some point, that's a great question.
I think it is.
Well, the Bears are worse than the Broncos, though, aren't they?
They are, but at least you can blame the monsoon. Jimmy Garoppolo's out here saying how sloppy of a game was. At least it wasn't sloppy with the
hurricane
weather.
Here's another angle I'm going to throw at you in the midst of all this.
All of
the dreck up to our neck and dog ass.
Hit me with it.
Freaking Russ Wilson again?
Here he is.
Are you freaking kidding me? This guy?
Doesn't do anything the whole game.
He was worse than Jimmy.
He was for the majority of the game, but he made plays in the fourth quarter.
Then when he had to be, he was better than Jimmy.
He started using his legs a little bit.
Those
there
two
he was
third
scrambling.
Down conversions. That back shoulder play to Cortland Sutton. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mooney Ward's been playing so good. The defense was incredible. Defense gets zero.
None. Nada. I don't want to hear a thing about the defense this
you
morning.
Keep an NFL team in single digits, you get a win.
You should win the majority of those games. Last night, they didn't.
As the great Kellen Winslow used to say, nah, man, I'm pissed.
Yeah.
We used to have that soundbite lying around. We should probably find that one, man.
We'll find it for you. I'll make sure the season goes.
I mean, listen, I don't know where the season goes from here. The Rams last year came in when the Niners were 3-5 and everything changed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's way earlier this year. They're 1-2. By the way, as I always like to say, Paulie, when they're 1-2, 14 more to go. You know what I mean?
14 in the books. There it is. Plenty of football left. A lot of football left.
Here's my positive message for the morning. They were 1-2 in 81. 808 KMBR.
Who was the QB?
There it is. There's a positive message from Paulie Mack.
808 KMBR.
Something that we're going to be looking for the next 4 hours is a positive message from last night's 49er game. We'll dive into it because it is 6 a.m. We'll ring no bells. You're listening to KMBR AM and FM in San Francisco, a Cumulus Media station, and the Murph and Mack Show starts right now.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.